Yep.
Hello, everybody. Mm-hmm. Welcome to The Big Show. Yes, we are here to discuss the big stories that have gone on in tech this week, all the shiz that's happened, and all the things that are on everyone's lips. We've got a packed panel tonight. It's great. Starting us off, I'm quite excited about this. Top left, we've got Howard. How are you doing, Mrs.?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Had a lovely time on the Mac show and I'm back again.
Well, I was going to say, so we didn't scare the crap out of you then.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I see. Made of sterner stuff.
So we get another
much sterner stuff.
Yeah, definitely. It's not working. It's all right. I'm trying to get the five-way shut and it's not working. But when I click it, it works. But when I press the... That's crazy. That's crazy. I do apologise. Glad you're well, Mrs. Next to her, that's the wrong button as well. It's not going well here. Big Chris Ashley.
What's up, my man?
How the devil are you, man?
Man, it's been crazy. I've been trying to get back on. Had to, but my brother's sick. So I've been dealing with that. And folks, let me just tell you, do everything you can to take care of your health. Because, man, when you get sick, yeah, it's rough watching your loved one, my older brother, former military, just struggling right now. Man. But
sorry about that, brother.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. But yeah, so been dealing with that, but it's also awesome to see him come fighting and trying to get better.
So what's the prognosis then? Is it good?
It's still too early, man. He had a stroke, and so it was just like but it hit him pretty hard. So it's like he can't talk, and he's like not moving as well, but when I went to see him today, and he started smiling when I walked in the room, so it's like, all right, that's encouraging. He recognizing me, he lift up his hand to shake my hand and stuff like that. So you get all that stuff.
That's massive progress then. Yeah,
so when you see that, you just get damn, I'm about to go hit the gym right now, because if he can continue to fight in that state, then I can continue to go do something. You know what I mean? But everything just kind of lined up today because I had a doctor's appointment to get myself checked out. Then went to go see him right next door. So I was like, man, my wife is home so she could take my daughter to gymnastics. I was like, if I don't get on and holler at my boys today, I don't know what day it's going to happen. So that's why I had to come to send you the message. Like, yo, pick your boy up.
Mate, you're always welcome here. You know that any time of the day or night. Now then, what's the update on the weight? How many she done?
So I think since I was last on here, January, right? So yeah. I'm down another 6 pounds since then. Pretty good because I've been actually trying to gain strength. So
your musculature's just gone up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really haven't been dieting as hard, but I did increase my calories. So that's been going really well. Just still working out like crazy, still hitting it every, this new workout plan I talked about the last day, the 531 is phenomenal. If anybody interested in it, let me know. I found it on one of the strength training websites, and it's just great. I love because, a lot of times you go in, you're just like, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to leave. But when you really have something to follow that's structured and it's that, and then you have built in increases, throughout the time period that you're doing it. It's just nothing to beat it, man. So starting to heat up out here. So I went for my first walk outside this morning. That was kind of cool. So yeah, man, it's still moving along, man. So I'm about to start making that final push to see if I can get down to that goal weight and drop another 50, 60 and see what happens. My doctor was psyched when she saw me when I walked in the door. She just was like, wow, you're amazing.
Good, man. Well done, pal.
Yeah, man.
Keep it up. Next to him, it's Atlee. How you doing?
Not bad. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. When are we getting the Microsoft show again?
So I have a group of people now that I'm going to be working with to be on it. I was just trying to make sure. I'm trying to make sure that I can start it and not have to stop it. So
you ain't lacking preparation, mate.
I actually got a message about that too. By the way, somebody's like, "Hey, when are they starting that Microsoft show?"
Yeah, I know.
See.
I know.
It's going to be a popular show right off the bat, man. You're missing it.
I know, but the last thing I want to do is start it and then have to stop it again. There's been a couple of things going on that I had to sort of make sure that I was properly set for.
Mate, if that was my ethos, I'd have never made a frigging show.
It's true.
Based on the fact the last few weeks of me going, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Meltdown on guests. And next to him, a man who has not been on the Big Show for a wee while, actually. Not since you went to America, I don't think. Patrice?
Yeah, it has been a while. I mean, simply, usually I work during this time of the day, so I can't really join you. But today, took the day off. So
see, that's the point. People who get their day off and they come and spend it with us. Go and spend the day down the virtual pub with your mates.
True. Definitely true, yeah. And I really missed it. Like, I actually yesterday talked to someone about, like, being excited to go on the Mac, on the Big Show again, because I want to talk about general tech. And, I mean, usually I go on the Mac Show and talk to about Apple stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we had Andy Anatko on the Big Show. In fact, actually, Andy Anatko opened the Big Show when we first started, and he was kind of like, wow, it's just, like, it's really cool. And he's been on a couple of times since on the Big Show. He gets to talk about other stuff rather than than Mac. He's all on Mac most of the time. So, yeah, good. And last but by no means least, that was a bang outside, was it, Muller?
Yeah, the car park.
Oh, right, okay.
I'll check after.
No, that's right, mate. Muller Bakker, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm fine, thank you.
You're full of curry?
I am, yeah. I mean, I've been getting into my exercise regime. I have to lift these weights in glasses, but you only have to do it so far. You just do it like that. But I do tend to find that this arm's getting stronger than this arm, so I might have to start drinking with the other. I mean,
I was just waiting for that.
Oh, my life.
The minute he said glasses.
Oh, my life. What the hell?
I do cycle. I don't do absolutely nothing, but it's too cold at the moment.
You cycle between beers or what?
Well, I have done that, and it doesn't work out well.
From
between IPAs and stouts, or is that your stuff?
Well, I'll tell you a story. It was about, I don't know, about 10 years ago, and I used to cycle to work, and I cycled to work, and I went down the bar at the police station for a couple, and had a few.
You went to the police station for a couple?
Yeah.
We used to have a bar in the basement. They stopped them all now.
Oh, right.
But I had a few, and then I decided to cycle over, and you know I use the canals. Anyway, I got to one of the bridges and was just a little bit
way ahead of you.
A little bit wobbly, and I ended up going the right, down straight into the lock. I managed to hold on to my bike, dragged it out, but I had a brand new Nokia banana phone. That didn't live. My Scion 5 did, though, which was quite good. So my Scion 5 survived, but the banana phone died.
Cool. Don't suppose you've still
I love the Scion 5. That was a fantastic device.
Oh, it was. It absolutely was. Don't suppose you've still got the power supply for it, have you?
Yeah, might have.
Okay. I'll have it off you because I stopped Greeny. I did my good deed because Greeny was trying to sell off his Scion stuff. And he said, have you got my Scion at your house? And I went, nope. And I had because I didn't want him to sell it. I know he loves his Scion. So.
He's got it now, hasn't he?
No, I've still got it. It's in my cupboard.
Oh, he's got what you showing me.
But he's lost the power supply for it.
Oh, I ain't got the power supply for that. I've got the power supply for the banana phone.
No, the Scion 5. That's what I just said.
Oh, no, I ain't got the Scion 5 one.
Oh, glad we cleared that up there.
Speaking of old devices, does anybody remember the Arcos?
Go on. No. Which one?
The
one that you put the discs in and you could...
No, he didn't. Well, the one I have is you don't need the discs for it, but it was just a mobile device that came in after the Scion, and it was a fantastic device. I still got that.
Arcos made loads of stuff because I had a drive off them that was 40 gigabytes, and you could put your SD, your compact flash cards in it. It would download them automatically.
Yeah.
And you could have a little screen that you could play it on and watch it.
They made some fantastic devices.
I had the big Scion. Yeah. You remember the big one? The big one that looked like a small laptop.
Was it a
Scion 10, was it? I had one of those. Got it. Found it on a second hand. I bought it second hand and I got rid of it because there wasn't a lot you could do with it. I did attach a GPS to it and take it to Rome, but it was a bit heavy carrying it around. Which is great. With the power supply for the GPS, the laptop and everything, walking around.
We got Martin Kelly in the chat room, Magic Man, and he's just said, I wonder who's the young lady, so Howard's introduced herself. But little does Martin know about Greeny's bid to take over the London Mac user group.
a boot management, yeah.
Oh, please don't get me started.
You're going to win him over with drugged oxtail soup.
Yeah.
The week in tech, all the big stories. Who's going off first? Are we going to let ladies go first?
It's gonna be ladies first.
Let's do ladies first. I posted something, but let's go.
Okay, then Mueller.
Here we go.
Right, I'm making loads of breaks.
Right, so Howard, the way it works is you post your story in the chat room, and if you get it in first, then you get to go first. But Patrice has said stuff chivalry, and he's posted his. But we're not going to let him have it. You go
bastard,
for it.
That was mine.
No, you go first.
I'll go. I've posted mine in. So since Facebook has been in the news quite a bit this week.
Yes.
I actually found this story quite interesting.
Go for it.
Because Elizabeth Warren's got her, along with her bid, she's trying to go after, you know, the big tech companies. And I just thought it was hilarious that her ads on Facebook kind of stopped for a bit. Don't know if you heard about that. So, yeah, I thought, do you think they did it deliberately or not?
So you think they masqueraded a mass outage globally just to piss Elizabeth Warren off? It seems a bit... There's better ways of pissing her off, surely.
Well, it was lovely because we removed the ads because they violated our policies against use of our corporate logo.
Oh, my God.
In the interest of allowing robust debate, we are restoring the ads.
And this caused Elizabeth Warren to say, oh, fair point, or no?
Well, she said
no, maybe right. Not.
She said they proved her point.
Exactly, they proved her point.
Yeah.
I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but it was kind of stupid.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not much for the talk about, I don't know how I feel about breaking up these big companies. I wasn't a fan of it when they talked about it for Microsoft years ago. Mm-hmm. But man, the more I see how these companies have their tentacles and everything and how responsible they are for the hive mindset that's going on today. I don't know. Maybe it makes sense to start, you know, breaking these guys up and stop focusing so much power into these single entities.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly not so sure this was even a deliberate thing by Facebook. I mean, you know how that usually goes. There's a policy in place. Some like low level reviewer sees something and says, "Oh, this should be blocked." So they do what they should be doing, or what they thought they should be doing, and then this blows up, and then someone from higher up has to step in and say, hey, no, we are blocking this. Usually how that goes.
How many people, you'd probably find as well that the person that's doing the censorship is not even in the US. They could be likely. Far East, they could be Philippines, they could be Mexico, they could be anywhere else in the world. And it's like, oh, this woman's posted that she hates the shit out of Facebook in a roundabout kind of way. Therefore, let's take it down. And it's like, well, didn't you see it was Elizabeth Warren? And they go, Elizabeth who?
Yeah, that's probably what happened. I mean, I've seen that happen like with other big companies, like Apple, for example. Twitter has done it. I think for the most part, it's not malicious. But it still raises the question, like, should Facebook have this much power?
Yeah. And the thing is, you would think that they would be so careful as to these things and would have taken steps to kind of make sure that they don't have these gaffes. Because you're like, you guys have been in the news, you know, for the last 2 years. Your boy is trying to, they've been trying to drag your boy to in front of Congress in front of the, over in the UK as well. And question him, and he's been avoiding that again, sending emissaries in his place. Just how do you let something like this happen, whether it's on purpose, an algorithm, or not? It's just like, man, what is going on with you guys?
I think
you should have a white list of some sort and say, hey, these people, just don't touch them. Like, let them do their thing.
Well,
do you think he cares?
Or a manual review.
It's still a manual review, but like if they're on the list and it's not,
I guarantee it was
totally
manual.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it could also just be a sign of their hubris. They don't think they really have to worry that much.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got huge lobbyists. I mean, unfortunately, in most parts of the world, politicians are pretty much for sale. I mean, with the advent of lobbying pretty much everywhere now. Special interests and anybody that can pay for it can just about get away with pretty much anything. I mean, they bring them up and they do the dog and pony show and they have everything, you know, all out in the public to make everybody feel better, like the government's actually doing something. But nothing's changed from anything, like, from any perspective.
Is that being a bit overtly cynical, though? Because, I mean, here's, let me play devil's advocate to a certain degree and put a different spin on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Facebook's fence. So shouldn't they be able to decide on the bills that they want posted on that fence for which concerts, which political messages, all that kind of stuff? Yes, they could, and they don't do that to a large degree. Mm-hmm. And should Elizabeth Warren be allowed to post what the hell she likes because she's Elizabeth Warren? Hell no.
Absolutely. Well, she can post whatever she wants, but they have the right to say, no, we're not going to show it.
Exactly.
So, I completely agree with that.
I would have said that actually the taking down of Elizabeth Warren's post is not tantamount to showing how much Facebook should be changed. It's actually showing that Facebook is being diligent because it picked up something which was ultra negative and reacted to it. And she shouldn't get away with that because she's Elizabeth Warren.
Well, to be clear, what her point is that these companies have a very strong foothold and can really change the course of our politics. So I don't think she's not arguing that they need to not be able to silence her or something like that, but just saying that these companies have become too powerful,
too big,
in what they can do. And it does prove her point because here they, you know, she's trying to get her message out to her constituents and they can just silence her like that. You know what I mean?
And I think
it's her right to do it. So I'm not questioning whether it's her right to do it. But I never used to think like this before. But the more I see these posts on Facebook and these, how people are just completely all in for their team, it's like, man, this is not going to get fixed unless we start looking at, you know, the core of this stuff, which is these platforms that we can post, that they're posting on and on
the
first place.
See, now if you had a newspaper that had a 3 billion circulation, then we would have had this already before, and that paper would have been controlled to the nth degree by politicians, and we wouldn't even be close to having all the president's men or Watergate or any of the other things that were unearthed by a small minority press in relation to the global scheme of things. Because this thing is so large, the politicians want to control it, when actually, is there a subversive control process taking place within Facebook? I don't believe there is. I really don't believe that Zuckerberg is trying to sway elections and things like that.
Yeah,
it does. Personally, it does by the sheer size of it.
Yeah. I think that the bigger problem is that, and I agree with there's a sort of a push towards trying to have WhatsApp and Instagram and Facebook all disbanded away from each other. The problem is that he has control over too many social networks right now, and which means that he has so much control over so much of what's going on in the electronic social space that it's very hard for any new or any other platforms to come up. And therefore, we're now laying all of the socialization of us electronically at the footsteps of one set of control. And so it'd be fine that he gets to control everything that shows up on Facebook, but now he's also controlling what shows up on WhatsApp and on Instagram and on Facebook. Yeah. That means it leaves Twitter to be the one outlying social network.
No, I'll back that argument absolutely.
Yeah,
I think that because right now if there was a newspaper that had 3 billion, you know, subscribers, there would still be lots of other newspapers around, and that's one of the reasons why, as a society, we don't let one company buy all of the newspapers or one company have all of the television.
Building a monopoly.
I mean, there needs to be opposing viewpoints. There needs to be opposing voice lines. As well
as news media.
Sorry, say again, Chris.
I would just argue that that exact same thing is happening with newspapers and news media as well. There's a and huge one of the consolidation that they are actively that's going on, especially in the States.
Sorry, fellas. Hang on. Howard was next. Go ahead.
I was just saying it's building a monopoly, really, which is what some of the others are doing, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a comment from Bob Beach here saying antitrust policy in the US has become impotent. And I think that's the big, that is actually a very, the crux of the issue is the fact that the, there is an antitrust process taking place here and no one's intervening and no one's got the power to actually deal with that. I think I totally agree with the you know, you can't have all the social media platforms. But the thing I find funny is it's like you've got, okay, we have to break up Facebook. We have to break up Google. We have to break up Amazon. I only buy cat biscuits from Amazon. Let's not get too thrown away with it all.
Yeah, but to be clear, Amazon is not just...
It's not going to change any...
Sorry, go on, Patrice.
It's not going to change anything, Patrice. Because ultimately, I mean, then there will be another company that comes up that is equally as big and simply takes over. I think, I mean, when you brought up the newspaper, it's something I've been thinking about. I mean, there are rules for newspapers. I mean, yeah, there's consolidation, but they have to post like retractions, or they're supposed to post retractions if they make a mistake and stuff like that. The question is, should we have rules like that for like our social media, since they're like to a big extent replacing like traditional news media?
Yeah, but I think the Americans...
I completely agree, and there definitely has to be something like that. And that's where it comes into my comments previously about the fact that our politicians and our laws are so far being outstripped by the advances in our in our technologies and you know the way that we're using technologies.
Are they being outstripped or not enforced?
They're not even there
in a lot of cases, and then when they are there, they're hardly enforced, because there's two things that are really harming and sort of at the basis of this that are way below the technology. One of them are popularity politics, where, you know, politicians, all they talk about is how horrible everybody else is. They don't talk about what their policies are and the things that they're actually running on. So, I mean, even in Canada, we're having the exact same thing where people are complaining about the other party, but they're not saying what they're going to do. And so why would I vote for someone who's basically having a high school election? And the other thing is lobbyists. Lobbyists negate the effectiveness of a lot of rules. And if they don't get lobbying and the money out of it, there's a lot of things that will not happen and are not happening.
But I mean, Patrice is saying there about the differences in Europe versus the US. But if you look at defamation, the defamation laws and the upholding of the defamation laws in the UK and in Europe is significantly better than in America, which has taken the idea of freedom of speech into say what the hell you like, which is not, you know, there is defamation laws, but they've been curbed so much through court cases that you really can almost say what the hell you like in the US.
The problem is not really defamation, right?
Well, it's one of them.
The problem, and this kind of goes along with, if there's one thing that I would like to see happen, okay, and I'll just stop there for a second. The problem is confirmation bias, right? Mm-hmm. Because people look for information that confirms the biases they already have. They don't go look for opposing information or the full story. Yep. And the problem with our media today is that based on who's signing their checks, they spin the information. They're not just giving the flat information and then saying, okay, here's our commentary on it. They're giving to you their commentary as if it is the information. So if there's one wish list I have for all that could really steer this into a better direction, it would be to be some type of regulation that helps to alleviate the confirmation bias that automatically goes on. Because by the nature of how search engines work, right, they keep track of what you search for. And then the next time you search for something similar, that's what it feeds you first. But what it feeds you first might be some loon who's making up stuff that goes along with what you're saying. And so now you're doubly stupid as opposed to getting educated.
Well, and but so I think that one of the – I had a conversation with a friend in Finland today, actually, and we were talking about the fact that with social media, what it's done is it's created these little social bubbles where all we do is get inundated with stuff that agrees with us. Exactly. And everybody has become a super snowflake. Nobody can handle any kind of – nobody has any tolerance for anything that slightly challenges any of their viewpoints or any of their thoughts or any of their ideas. And therefore, we're becoming so segregated – that we can't even cope as a society. Our society has stopped evolving. We're not evolving properly because we're not embracing the differences and the challenges of ideas that we all bring to the table. All right.
So I just want to go back to a point that Chris made there. Chris, if you're a journalist, what's the one prize that you're looking for?
for me would be to just to report the truth as a
journalist. No. If you're a journalist, what's the one award you want to win?
Pulitzer.
Oh, the Pulitzer, right. Of course.
The Pulitzer Prize, right. Who was Joseph Pulitzer?
I don't know.
He was one of the most powerful newspaper owners and journalists in the turn of the century. Mm-hmm. People listened to what he wrote, not what they should be listening to. He wasn't reporting on the Duke. Everything in press has already been editorialized. Hearst is another one in the US press who manipulated things to their own end through the use and ownership of papers. Editorialization, Robert Maxwell in the UK, Rupert Murdoch, holy shit, Rupert Murdoch in the UK at the moment. There was a bloke right in Egypt who got a clay tablet and he wrote something on it and everyone went, God, I'm going to buy that clay tablet every day. And he influenced the pharaohs. You know, whoever writes, the pen is mightier than the sword, mate. I'm sorry, but that's been going on since time immemorial. It's got nothing to do with Facebook.
It does have something to do with Facebook because, again, the way the search engines work, it's going to make the problem worse. And now you have people nefariously putting stuff out there that is not true to further their whatever cause that they're looking for, whether one side or the other. Yeah. It just happens on both sides. So I get it. There are people who spew things in a way so people are like, you know what? That I like this guy because he talks the way I like. I know that's been going on. But people that are smart enough to see through that, understand that there are two sides of the story. Let me get the full story, and then I can listen to whatever the spin is on top of that, and I can then decide if that's something I agree with or disagree with. But that's we're getting away from that.
But that's always been the case. Doesn't the BBC
have a rule on it that if you mention one political party, you have to mention the other ones?
BBC is uniquely funded, mate, so it has to, because it's publicly funded.
Different,
I'm asking about the concept, and that concept is actually a great concept.
Oh, totally, but it's publicly funded. It's a completely different body, entirely different body from anything else in the whole world.
I think that the big difference nowadays is it is easier as ever to put something out there. I mean, I could within a minute probably. I mean, I go to Squarespace. Not a sponsor, but I set up a website and I can put out there whatever I want. Like, I can say that the holy spaghetti monster is, I don't know, changing world. I can do whatever I want. It is easier. So it is harder, because it's easier to put information out there. It's harder for people, even people who might be good at it, to discern what is true and what is not, because you have to sift through all available information to even figure out what's going on.
We've seen several examples of this in the news media over the last year, where news outlets have actually been tricked into reporting things that were completely not true.
There's a lot of people not even bothering to check things anymore. So
that is the problem.
Because it's just a click, 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 isn't it? You don't have to. It's instant, in your face.
You see, most places get their news from the Associated Press, from the AP, at least here in this, the AP actually does the research and puts it out, and then the other organizations grab it and then, again, put their spin right or left on top of that story, or choose not to cover it, And so there are organizations out there that just report the news. Here's the news. Here you go. So I don't disagree with what you're saying. That people have been putting their stuff on, for beginning of time, because that's what draws viewers. But that's the problem, right, is that our news agencies have become, they're for profit. That causes a problem.
I got to take issue with that, Chris. I'm sorry, man. I really have got to take issue with that, because no one writes, X person said this, and then moves on to the next story. They say X person said this, and what this means is that's editorialized straight away. As soon as you do an interpretation of what the person says, that is editorialization. It's not. No one would buy the shit that's just pure reporting. That would never happen, man. That's what I'm saying. The thing that she's fighting against is something that they fought against at the turn of the last century, with newspaper moguls, look at J.P. Morgan, the shit that boy pulled, and yet, he got away with it. He sank a ship deliberately, allegedly, and cost 1,500 people's lives because he couldn't afford to get it repaired.
So so here's the thing, right? So
allegedly, just in case he sues me.
right, but you don't.
Beyond the grave.
Fight a defamation suit. But the, you know, there is a problem, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the only reason I brought up the news aspect of it is because a lot of people get their news from Facebook via other links. And so, you know, when you're have that many people and that amount of ability to influence minds, you know, I'm all for capitalism. I'm all for companies being able to make their money, but I'm also for the social aspect of it, social
Elizabeth Warren
life as well.
Elizabeth Warren is standing up and telling you it's wrong because Facebook is controlling you, when actually what she should be saying is it's wrong because I can't control it. That's what she wants to say.
There's
the editorialization of politicians, because if they can't control it, they're scared of it. And that's the trouble. Is that people are typing and writing what they want and they don't like it.
Well, but that would then say that all the Facebook's business practices, Amazon's business practices, Google's business practices are fine, and they don't require any regulation or any type of oversight as well, which I know you're not saying, but it's not there is nuance here, right?
I'm not saying that they don't need regulation and oversight. What I'm saying is that I don't believe that there is malicious practices taking place from those people. They are not Bond villains like the government wants to make them out, but the government is making them out to be that way because they cannot control them. It is about the government making control of the outlet media, whether it needs it or not. Yes, it probably does need some control and it does need some accountability, but they're doing it by telling you that that media outlet is controlling you, when actually it's got nothing to do with that. It's to do with the fact that they can't control it.
Okay, I'll just say one more thing. I'm not disagreeing with you that you know, I don't think that everybody is an evil person. Every company is an evil company, right? But what I do believe is that companies will do whatever it takes to turn that profit, because that's the mandate that we have here. So while they not be like, you know what, if we do this, it may create this hive, you know, set up in this country, but it will make us some money.
And where does John Oliver and Stephen Colbert sit in this regime for news then? And in the big Chris world order, are you going to have them topped and tailed as well?
No, I mean, I'm not looking at topping or tailing them at all. I'm saying that when it comes right down to it, Facebook will do whatever it does to ensure more clicks. Clicks are the thing, right? Views, likes, clicks, all of this stuff. And so they will offer the most sensationalistic things they can. And there's a problem with the general public viewing that as news. I think that one of the
things on earth do you think TV news and newsprint news have always done?
But they're just as guilty. I'm not saying that they don't do it. Totally. I'm saying they're a problem as
well. But they're also regulated in a way that we can't regulate. That we can't regulate Facebook because TV news. So the whole idea of TV news was TV news was supposed to be the station's ways of paying back the public for the fact that they're using public resources, public airways, public land, all sorts of things, to be able to broadcast their signals for all the TV shows and the stuff they made money from. They were never supposed to make money from news. The news was supposed to be a service that they offered for an hour every day to the general public to inform them and give them information that they needed.
Mate,
to make sure the public could be informed.
Mate, tell me you believe in Santa Claus, because I can't believe you're that naive. No.
That was the original. That was the original mandate of news.
No, there was no mandate in news.
No.
And I disagree that Facebook's doing the same as news. They're just a place where other people put stuff.
Mostly,
And
Facebook promote the stories of other people, don't they?
Well, they can do. Yeah. They tend to get promoted by an algorithm that based on popularity.
Which is what Twitter does.
It's even worse. I mean, Facebook is motivated by ads. That's how they make money. Like, either they sell your data or they sell ads.
Ads, yeah.
So, that is what their drive is. So they will do whatever they can to maximize that. And if that means selling ads from like a whatever
some kind of propaganda.
I don't believe it's an at all costs
propaganda,
model.
Whatever. Like, it doesn't matter.
I don't think that people at Facebook would do things that were morally wholly wrong to do that, though, Patrice. It's not an at all costs model. I don't believe that for a second.
No. Usually people don't do that like outright. Like they don't. It's like it looks on the face. It looks okay, and they simply don't realize that.
That's exactly what I was saying. It's like they're not like, we're going to do this because we're going to control it. They're like, we're going to do this because it's going to make money. I don't think, you know, and just like most people, they may not want to see the consequences of what they're put together, or maybe they don't care. Either way, I don't think everything is motivated because of for nefarious reasons. I agree with you on that.
I mean, it's actually, I think, if you think about it, and that kind of leads into my story. Tim Berners-Lee, he in his article said he knew that people would use the web for bad things, but what he expected was that it would still balance out. So he was being optimistic that we would figure it out and it wouldn't turn this bad, actually. So I think the same thing is probably true for Facebook. Like, there are smart people, and they probably expected some bad things, but they were thinking, well, overall, yeah, there will be some weird people doing weird things, but we can control that or can like get rid of them, and overall it will be good. And it turned out to be much more difficult and much harder than they thought.
I'm just sitting here thinking, that sounds like Tim Berners-Lee, the Oppenheimer of the internet.
Did anyone watch his
I made this mahoosive thing, go on.
Did anyone watch his live stream?
No, mate.
No.
He's not a very good public speaker. It was painful to watch, to be fair.
Mate, he lived in CERN with a packet of Cheetos and Mountain Dew and made the internet. Yep. Or not the internet, he made the World Wide Web, didn't he?
World Wide Web.
Yeah.
It's only been the last 5 or 10 years the web's gone down. And when I first was on it, it was just a load of geeks all posting stories about games. And CompuServe was my first experiment with online and dial-up internet boards.
Dial-up, ADSL.
The thing is, it kind of is AOL. That thing again, though. AOL dial-up, Christ.
Well, the thing about AOL and CompuServe is they were like little walled gardens, weren't they? Something that maybe Facebook should look at, where things were a little bit more controlled. It's only been the last probably 10 years where it looks like governments have come in and perverted it, which is going into one of my stories, because unfortunately Teresa's nicked mine.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely, I mean, the story is that the web turned like 30 the other day, and yeah, you're right, like the first like 15, 20 years, there was bad stuff out there, but it was severely limited. Like, you had to go out and find it, and I mean, with the walled gardens of AOL, and I remember T-Online, actually, which was a German thing, similar to AOL. It was harder to get the bad stuff in there. It still existed, like, if you knew where to go. I mean, just think about, illegal downloads of music that were very popular, like, end of the 90s, beginning of the 2000s. You could argue that this was a bad thing.
Took an hour, though, to get one track, though, didn't it?
It did, yes.
And your porn came one line at a time. You had to wait 20 minutes for it.
Yeah, and then it was really pixelated, so it was like, what is that? Is that a boop?
It came good at the event. Oh, no, I mean, not that I know that.
The article, like the interview with him, is really interesting. Like what he thought like 30 years ago, like how bad it would be versus how bad it actually got. And I think that should tell you something. Like he is an optimist. Like I know a lot of people are.
So can we pass Howard on the ability to bring a good discussion topic?
Hell yes.
Jesus Christ, woman. You're never coming back.
Well, I got you talking for a bit anyway.
39 minutes on that story. Oh, A for effort. Patrice, your story, mate.
We already talked about it.
We've done the entire list of what you were going to talk about on that story.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I actually wanted to talk about exactly what we talked about. Like,
that's fine.
Web being 30 years old and like how bad it is in some areas, how awesome it also is that it exists. I mean, the fact that we can talk to each other, the fact that we have BTN, I mean, that's also because of like what he started.
Thanks, Tim.
Yes, and it is awesome. Like, I mean, we have
it's a marvelous
from Canada,
age.
A German from the US, someone from the US, and people from the UK, and they're all talking.
I knew that Muller was going to pick this story. I knew.
Well, to be honest with you, that was, I mean, it leads on to what we've all been talking. Russia's going to disconnect from the internet and set up its own little walled garden, but like China, I suppose, because they've been perverting the internet. They're probably one of the biggest ones. I mean, they're not the only one. China and Russia are probably the biggest culprits, and then followed by America and probably Europe, probably England, UK, to be fair. And now that, because they use it, they want to sort of put themselves in a safe place and build a wall around themselves so that they can't be attacked from the outside, which I thought builds on from the last two stories.
It's kind of, well, I'm going to hit you really fast, and then I'm going to run into my house and close my door.
Yeah. I mean, if you read the story, the headline is a little bit misleading. What they're actually doing is copying the DNS system, which is outside of Russia. I mean, most DNS servers, like global DNS servers, are actually in the US. And they're copying them into their own realm, and then like trying to disconnect the DNS system and seeing whether everything works, which I can totally understand why someone would do that.
Yeah, Patrice did that last weekend.
Yeah, sure. I can do that.
Run his own little project. I know what I'll do this weekend. Go hiking? Sure. No, let's create a new DNS system just for my house.
Yeah, exactly. No, I could totally do that.
And then disconnect.
It simply makes sense. I mean, yeah, there has been in the past discussions to disconnect countries from the internet. So given how important the communication and the internet is nowadays, I think it's not a stupid idea. I mean, the question is, what are they going to do with it once they have that ability? I mean, we see with China what they did. And I wouldn't trust Russia to not do something like nefarious and, I don't know, redirect Google to their own servers or something. Google.com.
That also brings up a good point. Do you think that at some point sanctions by countries would actually also include restricting other countries from information on the internet?
I hope not.
I think it's already happening.
Oh, right.
Now, it's already Iran and Cuba cannot like freely access the internet.
Yeah, but is that happening from the sanctions side or is that happening from the inside? Because I would see where those countries would want to block it.
Yeah. As far as I know, it's happening from the sanctions side. I think North Korea is, by the way, the same thing.
North Korea has no access to the internet because the United Nations has basically said they're not going to have access to the internet, so we block them.
On the highest level, I'm pretty sure. I mean, we're not talking about even like the people living there. It's like literally the military.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, I mean, if you're going to block the military, you have to block the people anyway.
People, yeah.
U.S.
Absolutely. No, that's what I mean. I'm not, but the focus right now is more on military, not the people.
Hmm.
I can't see how they could do that, though, because you've only got they're right next to the Chinese border. They could just tap into theirs, or... I mean,
They are.
I mean, aren't they doing all sorts of nefarious things as well on the internet? So
stealing their network cable?
Yeah, see, if you look at the stories, I've put in, are there internet restrictions? And then the first predicted response is on Venezuela, which I don't know what Venezuela have done to anybody. But
the US wants their oil.
All the things that are coming up in these are about how countries are censoring the internet, not how countries are being censored from the internet by anyone else.
And that's the thing, is I can totally see where the totalitarian governments and the different regimes want to keep their people away from discovering what's actually going on in the rest of the world. That I can totally see, but is there possibly, or has there been a drive on the other side to stop these countries from getting information, from getting access to things? Because it's not the public internet, I think, that people really want. these countries to be blocked from. It's from things like the dark web and access to some of the abilities to access weapons and other things through those right. channels.
Yeah, but the positive yeah, side I mean, of
but
the
it's also about access to commerce, access to like news, access to a lot of other things, like communication mm-hmm. channels in general.
Well, it's mostly information and scientific advancements and yeah. other things that so, that are mm.
transparent. Yeah. So they'd want their own story told, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so I've Googled Cuba particularly, and mm-hmm. the censorship in Cuba is coming from the Cuban government, and it's not coming from externally. And Cuba, yes, and there's a story on the 6th of December which says Cuba, it's Cuba.
Diving?
Yeah.
Fabric?
Stop, I've slept. Cuba to finally give citizens internet access on their phones.
Mm. Well, so yeah, and so the thing is, I was in Cuba before it. The United States opened up their relationship with Cuba again. I was in Cuba probably a year or two before then, mm-hmm. and I had access to the internet. It was crappy. It was insanely slow yeah. and very expensive, but I could get to the internet while I was there. So it wasn't that other places were sanctioning or restricting, mm-hmm. you know, that range, that area from accessing it. So that's what I'm saying. Is that not something that's going to come next, or is it already happening? And I can see North Korea being a good candidate for that. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen any examples of that.
I know from a technical perspective, it's possible. Like it can be done. There were a couple of times something happened accidentally where an entire country was cut off. It was
that's usually someone driving a boat through a cable, isn't it? But Deepan has
It wasn't. It wasn't even cutting a cable. It was literally a configuration issue where they configured something wrong, and that basically.
Oh, that was a few weeks ago, wasn't it? Yeah. Deepan's put someone creating their own DNS, then control what's served up and injected into the and overlaying their own ads. That would be a shocking thing, wouldn't it, Google?
But haven't countries been doing this to each other anyway? I mean, UK use the use BBC, and they've got different channels for different countries and different languages. And doesn't America do it with you? Is it Radio US or Radio Freedom or something like that? And the US does that the same sort of thing, where they just basically bombard these other countries with.
Oh. Propaganda has existed for a very long time. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Was the name Hanoi Hannah or whatever it was?
Yeah, well, the unfortunately, the Germans had, was it Lord Haw Haw, who happened to be a British person who was hung afterwards. But I'm just saying that there's been the BBC are still doing it today into countries. And I'm pretty sure the US does it as well.
Oh, I'm sure the BBC's got an MI5 department or MI6 department.
MI6 is, they're external, aren't they?
Definitely 6. Definitely
6. MI5 is domestic.
MI7.
The BBC's screaming 6, man, I ask you. It's obvious.
Well, they did give you a spooks, didn't they? So you're probably right.
Jeremy Paxman's 007. No question. Killian Murphy's just a distraction, man. The real 007 is Jeremy Paxman.
M is the controller.
Can I put that one forward as a show title?
Oh, dear.
Go for it.
The real 007 is Jeremy Paxman. He's a nice bloke as well.
Having said that, I would just like one more thing. The more you try to restrict people from the internet, the more they're going to find a way of getting around it.
Oh, definitely.
So,
to a point.
Yeah,
if you've cut off the infrastructure, then they can't. If there's no, as Stree says, if there's no DNS, if there's no node in your region that you give any access to for any reason, it's just impossible.
Well, until you really cut the cable, there's always a way. Like, it's telecoms. DNS is actually the least effective way of doing this.
So, I'm a Cuban peasant and I want access to the internet. It's not like throwing a piece of copper over the electrical wires, like to steal electricity. I've got to actually.
It's not that easy.
Exactly. I've got to get to a cell tower and I've got to hack a signal from somewhere.
Yeah.
And if there is no infrastructure there broadcasting the signal, I can't just throw a piece of copper over and expect to suddenly pick up.
But you're forgetting about the the radio. There's still the ham radio still got ways of transmitting. Okay, it's pretty low board, but you can still do it because I know people that do.
And I mean that, and you can, like, if there's a fiber connection somewhere and you know how to get to it, like, you can tap that and, like, inject your traffic. So there are ways around it. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy and everybody can do it, but there will be at least a small group. I mean, we're seeing it in China with a great firewall. Like, people are finding ways to circumvent it. And I mean, some of them are going to jail, obviously, but people are finding ways how to get around those restrictions. So as long as there is a physical connection that you could tap into that goes out to the wide internet, like worldwide internet, there will be a way.
Cool.
Life always has a way.
Yeah. It's
but that's life, dude, not internet. He crouches down in Jurassic Park and goes, the internet finds a way.
In many ways, isn't the internet alive?
It's like water,
constantly growing, getting intelligent.
Oh no, the internet's leaking.
Uh-oh.
Quick, stick your finger in the internet.
The question is, what is it leaking?
There's a buildup of pressure in the internet. Don't take your finger out of that cable, son, or the whole place will flood with internet information.
Yeah.
And then if Facebook's pushing really hard, Elizabeth Warren's the lady with the finger in the internet, isn't she?
She's got her finger right there.
She's preventing the internet from flooding. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Good.
Telling you to call.
Big Chris Ashley's had enough of that story because he's posted his own.
Let's have some fun.
What would you call this? Gadget. Hang on, End Gadget. Before you continue, I'm getting sick and tired of you. Do realise that we're going to steal all your data, right? Oh, and here's an ad. God's sake!
Hold an ad.
I know you wanted to read some news, but here's an ad.
Here's an ad for you.
Traeger.
Yeah. So, I get a lot of questions sometimes, folks on the show, sometimes friends that ask about what's a good smoker to kind of, or what type of smoker should I use as a beginner.
Dude, how is this not going to last an hour? I was just asking, man.
Show's going to be 5 hours.
You've got a woman who cooks because we got her oxtail recipe earlier. You got you, who is Mr. Cookout.
All right, let's go. Let's do this.
Two English fat blokes sitting going, oh, my God, and salivating, even though we've only just eaten. A bloke with a cooking show in Germany who's now in Arizona, and a bloke who spends 6 months in the dark in his cabin in the winter.
Eating polar bears.
This is, mate, this is a podcast on its own.
Oh, yes.
Well,
tell me more.
We'll try to make this short. God, I just broke.
No, I don't want to make it short. I want ribs.
No, you want some ribs? I just broke my stand for my microphone. God, I'm an idiot.
God damn, I'm going to go get ribs now.
All right. So here we go. So there's many different types of smokers out there. And, the Traeger ones are very popular because they're what's called a pellet smoker. But I love the fact that what they've recently done is they've added Wi-Fi to all of their smokers because
Elizabeth Warren must be really upset.
Yes. She's like, I need that. And why didn't you offer it before? But I bought a separate Wi-Fi connective unit to control the temperature on my smoker, right? And it allows me to go up and down and control the fan speed which is obviously the hardest part of smoking. It's controlling your temp. And so the fact that they've added Wi-Fi to all their smokers so that you can control any one of them instead of the high-end model ones, I thought was pretty cool. So I've always loved the fact that how technology is gone past the refrigerator with the Wi-Fi refrigerators and the stoves and all. And now, I mean, something that's outdoor, like a smoker, can benefit from technology and these hookups. So I thought this was a pretty cool story. That it was a short one, because it's really just about a model that just came out. But I love the fact that this is there, and I hope that this becomes a trend amongst other smokers.
So let me get this straight. The Wi-Fi capability allows you to, so it's an Internet of Things thing where you can control the temperature of your smoker remotely using your phone.
Yep.
And where's your smoker?
My smoker's outside.
And where are you? Yep. Inside.
Inside.
I'm sorry, mate.
Oh, okay. So here, I'll give you an example, right? Because currently I'm inside and my smoker's outside.
Yeah.
But when you're doing a brisket for 14 hours, guess what? I'm not always inside.
Okay.
You know?
Because yeah, sometimes you're outside changing the temperature.
Yeah, but what you want to know is it's not necessarily that you have to adjust the temperature, right? But you want to know that the temperature is where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're... So you can be
that annoying guy in the movie looking at your brisket smoker while we're watching the movie. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Be that guy.
No, you could be the worst guy, which is the guy that says, can you pause this while I go and look at my brisket smoker?
Maintaining temp is extremely important. And the other aspect of having something digital like that is that when you have to open the smoker, obviously you lose heat. But you might want to, you know, depending on what you're smoking, you may want to spritz the outside to keep this outside moist because the heat comes from the outside. And
don't tell me you can trigger a spray.
No, you can't trigger a spray.
Oh, that would be cool.
Well, I mentioned that.
You'd have had me at that. I'd have said, yeah, good investment, man. I want one.
So that'll be the first accessory I build.
But having these electronic fans that can recognize that A, you've opened the door, B, don't spin up until the door's been closed for a certain period of time, and then C, spin up faster to bring the temperature back up to where it was. Those things are chronic, you know, really cool, as opposed to you trying to open the valves, trying to get that, and then you might have trouble getting it right back to where you wanted it. It's a very, very slick thing to have, and it really eliminates a lot of the headache when it comes to dealing.
Now, you could have all of that without the Wi-Fi, though, right? You could have all of that sort of set up to automatically recognize the temperature and to then, you know, open the valves when they need to, and then spin up the fans and do all that stuff without actually having to have Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi just offers you the ability to sort of
remotely
check the temperature, right?
Yeah,
to actually trigger those manually.
Yeah, you can trigger those, adjust the temperature manually. So for another example, right, let's say I'm doing like a pulled pork. And so, you know, it's gotten to the end, it's reached the temperature, but I want to crust the outside. I don't have to be there to say, okay, now I need to go adjust it. I can just, from my phone, turn up the temperature so that I get a nice heat on the outside of it to kind of make the outside a bit more crispy. Before I take it out. So those are two examples. You know, there's plenty of times I've gone to the gym while my food's on the smoker. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times before when I didn't have something like this where I'm thinking everything is fine, my temperature's steady, and I come back and it got windy outside. And so the wind kind of forced its way through and raised the temperature of my smoker and threw off my cook time.
So does your room...
And so does that actually trigger... Do you get alarms or things when the cook time... When the temperature gets changed? Can you alarms and things like that?
Yep. You have alarms. I don't know about the Traeger one specifically, but the one that I used, it has alarms for, you know, being 20 degrees, you know, either side of your temperature range.
So now,
do you not need it a little bit less than 20 degrees? Wouldn't 10 degrees be a better 20 degrees?
It would depend on how long, you know, because even...
For how long, exactly.
Yeah, even if it went 20 degrees for a little while, you know, either direction, it's not going to necessarily destroy your, you know, whatever you're cooking, you know, depending on what you're doing.
Damn, that's good.
I swear to you, like, if we hadn't prefaced this with, like, this is a cooking show, like, talking about smoking and hot
anybody
meat,
that's tuned in, this is,
temperature's going up.
Chris, the thing is, it's like, this thing's also got a webcam in there, and Chris sets it on, and he goes to the gym so he can keep an eye on it. And he comes off the treadmill and he's absolutely soaked, but none of it's sweat. It's just drool.
No, you know what it is. He's got the webcam on there and he's got a food porn channel that he's running.
Well, no. So Deep Pan's already put, does it have a webcam on it so anyone on the internet can see your meat?
Yep.
I read that wrong. I'm sorry. I read that wrong, Deep Pan. It wasn't first time anyway.
Make sure somebody's not stealing my food. Meat's expensive, you know.
Oh, Howard, you could have an Internet of Things pressure cooker for your oxtail soup, mate.
Nah, yes, needs to be.
Mrs.
Nah, it wouldn't be the same.
You've got to buy one of these, surely. Surely you've got to buy one of these. You're into your cooking.
I am, but
food. You did you did say to me one of the provisions that you come in on both shows was that there was a break so you could eat because your food's important to you. So
food is very important.
That's what you said. The deal we struck was okay as long as I can eat.
Yep.
Mate, you're going to fit right in.
So having, and also one other thing is having this on a pellet smoker is actually pretty, pellet smokers I think are probably the easiest because it has an auger that drops the pellets into the, to a smoke pot and heats it up and then it just maintains temperature through all of that. So it's kind of one of the easiest.
Are you
going
to tell me, can you remote drop the pellets from your iPhone or something?
You wouldn't have to. I mean, if you turn up the temperature, it's going to drop more pellets.
So
that's what I'm saying. By turning up the temperature, will it automatically drop the pellets?
Yeah, that's how it would have. That's the only
close
way.
Enough.
It would spin up it would spin up the fan to spin faster, and then it would drop more pellets to create more
heat. I've just got imagine this fan throwing these pellets.
Just shredded pellets coming through the fans.
Bob Beach says he's fallen asleep. Don't care, mate. Yeah. We're having fun. Shut up. Yeah. Got nothing to do with you.
Internet sous vide machine.
Watching water boil on the internet.
Turn on my sous vide from I have turned on my weed from my sous vide from the office.
My weed.
I'm gonna go on TSO hosts and I'm gonna type in the internet of kettle and I'm gonna have a video of my kettle when it goes on in the morning, just boiling. That's it. And see how many viewers I can get. The internet of kettle.
That's funny.
Mate, good story.
And fun.
It was. That's what that, because normally we talk rubbish about privacy and that kind of stuff. And it's, that was brilliant. And I don't give a shit what Bob says. Bob can go watch something else.
Someone shake Bob.
The problem I've got at the moment now is I'm hungry again.
The question everyone wants to know is a smoker the same as a barbecue? Barbecue. Yeah.
So
no,
there's the people make the mistake of calling barbecue grilling and grilling barbecue, and they're really two different things. Yeah. So it depends on who you're speaking to. Technically, yes, you could say barbecuing is smoking, but it could also be grilling. Barbecuing is kind of like an overreaching term, but smoking is the art of slow cooking food over a long period of time. Grilling is high heat searing food for a short period of time.
Yeah, so,
there you go.
No, what's the answer?
I just wanted to ask.
Yes and no. Because if I grill high heat and then throw some barbecue sauce on it, somebody might be like, yeah, you're barbecuing today. And I would get what they meant,
You ever do fish?
Sure. I do salmon all the time. It's one of my best things I smoke.
Mackerel.
Oh, smoked salmon is fantastic. Mm. Especially freshly done,
Just the word mackerel and smoked in the same sentence in the right order makes me feel like I'm going to puke. I had it. No. So when I was a kid, my parents used to take me for extra tuition on maths because I was a bit shit at maths. And we used to go to this place over in Solihull. And because it was quick and easy, every Thursday night for 7 years, because I was really shit at maths, every night for 7 years, we used to have smoked mackerel. And I just got to the end. And I was just like, I can't eat it anymore. I can't eat it anymore. And as soon as I was an adult and I didn't have to eat mackerel anymore, that was it. It was done. And I used to literally hold my nose to eat this stuff. And then I was in a hotel 10 years ago with an American firm, and there was smoked mackerel there on the breakfast cold. And I just thought, I wonder if I'm kind of over that now. And maybe I'll really enjoy the taste. And I picked up this piece of smoked mackerel and put it on my plate. And then I picked it up with my fingers and I put it in my mouth. And it was almost like I got an anaphylactic response. As soon as it touched my tongue, I just wanted to be sick. Like that, and I heaved, and the guy's in. You're right. Yeah, fine. It's just that mackerel. And he went, it can't be off. And I went, it's not off. It's just Thursday nights. Now I love kippers. They don't taste anything like smoked mackerel.
But they are.
There we go. Smoked mackerel patty. Shove it up your ass, magic man. And actually, there's probably an internet site for that as well.
It probably does. Oh,
what?
Deep pan story is internet kettles. I'll have a read of that in a minute, mate. Thank you very much. And sous vide tools. Cool. And Bob's well off now. Bob's... Who's got the next story? Have we done them all? Everybody, have you put a story?
It's Atlee.
Atlee.
Well, there we go. So, a little bit of a downward spiral for this one. Microsoft's apparently talking about the fact that they're not doing the Andromeda or the Polaris stuff anymore.
For those of us that don't know, what's Andromeda and Polaris?
So Andromeda was Microsoft's folding phone. They started building a folding phone about 2 years ago. They couldn't come up with their compelling story for it or the compelling use case. And so they basically announced a whole bunch of patents, created a whole bunch of patents, are probably making a fortune off of all the folding phones that are coming out because I think they have more patents on them than anybody else does. Are apparently not putting one out themselves now.
That's a real bummer.
It really is. Because it was one of the main reasons I was still holding on to my phone, because I was waiting for that device.
Which phone are you holding on to?
I've got an X3. I'm still using it. I've got an iPhone and I've got an Android phone, but I can't stand using either one of them for more than a day or two at a time. I end up going back to the other phone. Plus, I just have better software on it because most of it I wrote.
Oh. Good. No light nepotism.
That hurts.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I was really looking forward to that they were coming out with a device. Because what I really wanted, especially, everything was lining up perfectly, right? Because they had, they're coming at, they're really going to start pushing their Windows OS that runs on
the Core on OS, ARM.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, and it's supposed to be able to run full apps. And so being able to have, you know, a slightly larger device that could fold out, run full Windows, man, that was perfect for me because I just had to replace my computer. My battery blew up on the plane home and on the plane ride home from my last trip. And, my IT's like, okay, we want to send you this computer. I was like, that's a pile of junk. I don't want that thing. And he's like, we can send you this. I was like, man, that's twice as heavy as the one I had. I said, I lift weights, but I'm not trying to, you know, carry no heavy laptop. I'm done with that. So I was really looking forward to this device that's going to be my main device for traveling and, you know, just hooking it up when I got home, man. So that's a gut punch right there.
Well, no. So, I mean, they've now replaced sort of the Polaris and the Andromeda shells that they're making with this new shell called Santorini, which will probably handle many different sizes because they're going to be handling laptops and dual screen. So it's quite possible that they may come back around with the devices but use this new shell. I mean, it's all sort of up in the air. The big problem is Microsoft does a horrible job of actually getting any messaging out, which makes it really hard for anybody to really plan what they're doing or what they're aiming for. And it also makes it really hard for them to sell anything to consumers because consumers don't like to, sort of wait and see.
I cannot for the life of me figure out why they have not gotten rid of their entire marketing department and start over with marketing.
It was the only thing they should have kept from the Nokia merger. I mean, when they got rid of, all the other things from Nokia, they should have kept their marketing department because Nokia's marketing department was absolutely
They were excellent.
Heads above everybody else's. I mean, Nokia had Windows Mobile or Windows Phone gaining market share above Apple in some places. And, I mean, it was just, stupid. In my opinion,
Microsoft's problem is they often announce things before they even know whether they're going to pan out. And anybody who knows anything about either software or hardware development knows that stuff can, you might run in a certain direction for a year or two or five and then figure out it doesn't work.
So the funny thing is they haven't announced any of these things. They literally have not announced anything, but there's enough leaks coming out that this information leaks out, right? And then people, find patents and there's a number of different things that, they get all excited. And the thing is that what I don't understand is why does Microsoft not see the amount of excitement there is? And I mean, one of the other stories I was going to put up was about how, there's several different places that are starting to, put Windows 10 on ARM onto Android devices. So like the Pixel 3 and a few other things, people have been, you know, running Windows 10 on that. So, I mean, with the number of people that are still trying to do that, it's obvious that the two platforms aren't enough for all the use cases. And I don't know. I don't understand their strategy. It really seems like Microsoft doesn't know where they're going, and they can't seem to sort of catch their footing. Other than the stuff that they're doing in the cloud, I mean, they're doing a fantastic job for their shareholders, but it makes it really hard for people like myself that are working on in technology to know where I should be focusing any of my training or my planning on Microsoft technologies, because it seems to be very, very all over the place. They were super hard on mixed reality and everything else, and that sort of dropped off a fair bit now. And it just seems to be, I don't know, they were super excited about Xamarin and building, you know, stuff for all the platforms at the same time. It makes it really, really difficult for developers and for people that are focused on technology to sort of plan what they're doing and include Microsoft in any way.
Yeah, well, hopefully this is just, like you said earlier, that they're just like, you know what, these two versions of the OS are redundant and we can still accomplish something.
And that's kind of what I'm hoping is that, yeah, that when they get rid of it, I mean, they're still working on Centaurus, which for all intents and purposes could very easily morph into a smaller device like a Polaris, like an Andromeda. Centaurus is basically a larger Andromeda.
Has Microsoft lost the
plot?
No. Has Microsoft? Because the thing is, there's a lot of tech companies, and Microsoft very much included in this, did things because they needed doing in the longer term or framework of just global improvement and development. Mm-hmm. And have they got too structured into, well, unless it makes a profit, we're not going to do it, and stepping away from stuff that actually they should be pursuing to just to further their own potential OS for the future?
I think that's a fair question. I think it's probably too early to tell, because they have kind of still followed their lines, like, oh, we'll take what somebody else is doing and make it better, you know, i.e. Teams, and even though Teams is not better yet, but it's on the way for sure, and they've gained an incredible market share, you know, Office 365, Azure AD, these things kind of followed, you know, AWS, but man, what they've done in that period of time is amazing. So
they've done some fantastic things, but it seems like,
but on the consumer side, not so much, except for Surface. Yeah. That's the one little kind of, you know, opposite to this discussion. Because I would say, you know, aside from Surface, you're right. But
Surface and Xbox.
And Xbox, yeah.
I love the fact in that list they've got. So it's like Shell Windows 10, codename Windows Classic. Laptops, Santorini, codename Pegasus. Dual-screen laptops, Santorini, codename Centaurus, Surface Hub, Shell, Aruba, codename Aruba.
Aruba.
We're worried in case totally anyone finds out about Aruba. No, we're not. Whoever's in charge of that project, you failed because you didn't pick a code name.
No, it's just like I said. It ends up being a challenging struggle, but and I'm kind of curious to see sort of where they're going with things. They keep changing paths. They keep changing direction completely. I mean, if you look at the screenshot here of the Centauri mockup, it looks like a really lame ripoff of the Apple desktop operating system.
I think that's a bit harsh. Is that the Santorini pickup?
Yeah.
No, I think that's a bit harsh. I think that's just because the icons are colored instead of being plain blue, which is they are in Windows 10. I don't.
No, the icons aren't plain blue in Windows 10.
Yeah, they are. Aren't they?
The icons are all different colors.
No, the icons for the settings panels and that kind of stuff, all of the internal stuff is one single color, isn't it? It's blue. Azure blue on.
Blue icons, yeah.
White, yeah. I don't think that's trying to be OS X.
Well, no, but if you look at it, they've put the buttons in the center of the taskbar.
Yeah.
They've got basically a launcher window. Right? Like, I mean, you push the button, it brings up a launcher window. That's very...
It is kind of Spotlight, but it isn't. Well, Spotlight is called up separately. It's not part of Finder. That looks a lot more like it's part of the File Explorer.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that's what Start Menu is. Start Menu is part of File Explorer.
Mm. I think you're being a bit harsh is all I'm saying there. And that's the Windows, man. That's worrying, really. Once you pissed Atlee off, you know you've gone down the wrong route.
Someone who's been using their operating system since DOS 5.0, have been using all of their stuff. It's just, it makes it really hard for me to sort of plan where I'm going in the future because it seems like they don't know.
Yeah. No, they don't.
Mm.
How long have you been in computing? Since Noah version 1. Excel spreadsheet. Cool. Good story, mate. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Now then, reviews, everybody. We're going to have a little bit of push on reviews because it gets us back up in the iTunes charts and that kind of stuff. So if you've left us a review, thank you very much. But please go and revisit it for us and repost a new review. That'd be great about all the shows that we've got here that we do regularly. And that would help our rankings very much so. Say what you like and we'll read them all out. Patrice is going to be helping us with a program to find all of the reviews. He doesn't know that yet though. We'll find a way of getting all the reviews in and we'll read all of them out that come in, I promise you, over the next few weeks, good or bad. We won't cherry pick. So please get out and review all the shows, Mac Show, Big Show, New Show, the whole shebang. Cheers. Right, it's time for the sponsors ad. This podcast and all the others is supported by TSO Host. We are absolutely indebted to them and they're brilliant. We have had some lovely messages from people. All they want is brand recognition. So just a message that goes out on Twitter or Facebook that says thank you at TSO for supporting at British Tech would be more than enough. They just want that brand recognition. That's it. If you'd like to buy some hosting services, then you can, and you can get 20% off with the offer code BTN20. But brand recognition is the main part. And that's all Howard did, and look, and she's in the trouble she's in now.
Yep.
Yeah. So please give them support if you possibly can. Also, please check out telestream.net and say the same thing to them on social media. Thanks for supporting British Tech. Wirecast is a software that we use and they're absolutely awesome. If you've got a church or you've got a sporting club or something like that and you want to broadcast live video, it is an absolutely essential piece of software. And thanks also to Hoya who gave me my glasses because I love these glasses. They are superb. And the Bash, the Bash is coming up. It is the 27th of July. If you can get here, that would be awesome. It's a fun weekend. Starts on the Friday. We might have a round of golf or something like that. But then we've got a curry in the afternoon. Then on the Saturday, we'll have the Bash itself in the usual location at the Link. And then on the Sunday, it's all back to mine for tea, coffee, and bacon sandwiches before we all go home. So that's Saturday the 27th. So 26th, 27th, 28th is the Bash weekend. If you'd like tickets, they're available on the website now. I think Wrighty's had a go at changing the stuff, but it's the same price as last year. So get in, click in, buy your tickets. Love you to bits. Right, time for your cool thing. Do you have a cool thing for us, Howard?
I do, and I've just put in the chat room.
Excellent.
So I discovered this one with one of my clients, actually, thought was quite cool. Helps you record video.
All right.
So you can just record, and there's a free version. I think it allows you up to 100 videos, but I think you can sort of like refresh that. So you can get the client or anyone really just to record what they're doing, and you can talk through it rather than pick up the phone or share a screen or all that stuff. So yeah.
So do you record it kind of? Do you record it like a screencast or?
Yeah, very similar.
It just records your screen and then you send it.
It just records your screen and records what you're doing. So if you want to demo a product, Oh, or get the user to show you exactly what they're doing, then yeah, you can go ahead and use this.
Seamless Slack integration as well.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't tried the Slack integration, but yeah.
Excellent.
I think it's cool.
Like that. And you say it's free for 100?
I think it's free for 100 videos, I think. I'm sure, yeah. Let's have a look at the pricing.
All right.
I'm still on the free Excellent. One.
I like that. Good pick. Well done.
Yeah, you can store up to 100 recent videos. So, Brilliant. Or otherwise it's $10 a month.
And that's, so how much do you get for $10 a month?
Unlimited video storage, recording tools, premium editing suite, and HD quality video.
That's not a lot of money then. Not too bad. Mm-hmm. 100 quid mm-hmm. a year. Yeah. Excellent. Good pick. Mr. Ashley, what do you have for us?
So my pick is going to be pretty simple. And if you're like me and you love headphones and, you know, you love the high-end headphones, then I love these new Microsoft Surface headphones. I am really enjoying these. I had the couple of the Bose ones, and I'm a big fan of Bose headphones, not Bose speakers. I've used the Sony high-end ones that they're all around $350, the same price. But these Microsoft ones are actually really, really good. One of the coolest things that I love about these is the fact that the controls for music are the same on both sides of the earphones. So many Ooh. Times you get a pair of mm. headphones and left side it does this and right side does that. Yep. That's not yep. the case. Yep. You tap either side, pause, double tap, fast forward, triple tap to rewind, either ear. So I love that. That's one of the coolest nice. Things. The other thing that they did that I thought is probably the best I've ever seen is there is one separate control on each ear. And on the right ear, it's volume. But the way they did the volume, it's a knob. This outside piece is actually a knob for oh. volume, which I think is just the coolest thing ever. And then the left side is actually noise cancellation. So the knob, having the knob on the outside for the noise cancellation actually allows you to control how much of the outside noise is coming through the speaker so that you
oh,
can
that is nice.
Hear. Two of the coolest things I've ever seen on the headphones, you know, because they all use pretty much the same. Everything else is pretty standard, you know, the charge port on the bottom, the on-off button slash pair. But the other thing they did pretty cool, too, is a microphone mute. So there's a separate button to mute the microphone when mm-hmm. you're talking. Now, picking up the headphones, they feel kind of heavy. So I was kind of shocked that I've done 30-minute walks on them, 40-minute walks with them. And you almost forget that they're there. I don't know what mm-hmm. they did in this curvature of the headset, and maybe it's the way this kind of bows out on the side. But once you put them on, you don't really feel them anymore. So I thought that was super impressive. Mm. The other thing
that
is
goes with the design of how that Surface Group does design technology. They really, really go
they're really good. Really yeah, good.
They go the extra mile with working on a design that's not only attractive but very usable and really sort of fits with the way you will use it.
Yep. The super soft leather on the ear cups makes it feel good. It's an over the ear ear cup. So and the final thing that I like is that you can do it does have a mixer that you can control. It has 5 built-in presets, but you can set your own based on what you like and how you want it to sound, which I think is really cool. And it's all done through the Cortana app. So once it connects, and then you can go into the headphones, and then you can, you know, change your treble, your bass, and all of that jazz. The one downside that I've found so far, two downsides. One is the three downsides. The battery life, not as long as some of the other headsets. 15 hours. I know some of these, like Sony has like 24.
Still hardly horrific. Like
but, you know, yeah. I haven't gone through the battery yet. Second yeah. downside is I noticed that some of my songs can cause like distortion in the bass, but, you know, obviously you just turn it down. And then the third, what was the third one? Oh, the noise cancellation doesn't go zero. So for me, it's not a big deal, but I know some people, you know, they just want to sleep and they want to put the headphones on and crank it all the way up and then don't want to hear anything. That's never been the case for me, but if that's something that you prefer, it doesn't go absolute zero where you hear absolutely nothing. So other than that, I freaking love these things.
A set of headphones that are expensive but have features rather than just a cool name and a dodgy history.
Yeah.
There you go.
So you're saying it doesn't go to absolute zero for noise cancellation?
Correct. It does not go absolute zero.
Where would you say it goes to? About five?
probably like a three. I would say about a three.
So it gets a great percentage of it out.
Yeah, because as soon as you turn on the music, then everything is gone. You know? Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that if you're just lying there with it just silent, not playing anything, it's not going to block out everything, but you'll have very, very little coming through.
You'll have very little. It's very little, but it's there. You know, so something, mm-hmm. you know, even, but so it's not there enough to, like, where it's like, ah, this sucks. You know what I mean? It's just there enough, you're like, well, it's not complete zero. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so for me, it's not a big deal. And, I bought them right before I left for my recent mm-hmm. trip, used them in the airport. Fantastic. Somebody came up to me and was like, are those, you know, those phone headphones look nice. Can you tell me about them? Out of the blue. I was like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And I was able to, before I found out what they wanted to ask, I was just able to pause the music and turn the knob so I could hear what they were saying. And then say, okay, now this is going to be a long conversation. So I went ahead and took the headphones off instead of looking like a douche.
Question from Bob in the chat room. Does the noise cancellation good enough for a plane?
Yes. Yes. So I used it on the plane. Turned it up, turned it down when they were making their announcements, turned it up and went to sleep. So I think it's fine, you know, and I didn't have any babies on the plane, so I couldn't test that aspect of it. But
well, you're a man, you wouldn't.
I turned on my space heater in the room and, you know, it really blocks out, like I say, 95, 96, 7% of the sound. So you just hear like a tiny hum as opposed to like hearing it. So, but I had somebody else come in the room and test it with the space heater, and they thought it was pretty good as well. But like I said, it's not absolute zero.
£282.38 if you want them here in the UK. And here's the last word for Microsoft's marketing. Never heard of them before. What are you on? What are you on?
I know. They do a horrible job. But question. How is it for heat? Like, my big problem with over-the-ear headphones is eventually your ears get really hot and it ends up being uncomfortable. How are they for...
I don't know if I'm the best one to test that because I actually have the same problem. Like, I get hot and I sweat like a madman. However...
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Did you find that you sweat a lot with them on?
I sweat with everything. If I start thinking... I'm sweating right now.
Of course.
But... I didn't find them to be any worse than any other headphones I've ever had. So I went for a walk this morning. It was 61 degrees, had my fair share of sweat, but I didn't find it to be any different than any of the multiple Bose that I've had Sony's or anything else. Even with my in-ear, I still got to take them out sometimes and clear the air canal.
Excellent. Atlee, what have you got for us, mate?
More robot stuff. I figured you'd like this. It's a strong but soft hand for a robot.
That sounds more something like Jeff Gamut would pick, mate.
I'm at it, Mueller.
A new robot hand is both soft and strong
and very, very long.
So yeah, so they're always working on different technologies for allowing robots to be able to handle delicate items. But also the problem ends up with delicate items that are also heavy. So they worked on this new hand that's almost like it's sort of patterned after a Venus flytrap. Again, it sort of goes in with my appreciation of the fact that, you know, a lot of times when we're building some of these new devices, we go back to looking at nature to see how nature handles certain things. And so what they've done is they've created this special hand, for want of a better word, that's able to pick up things up to 100 times the weight of the device itself, with this special origami designed hand configuration that's ultra strong but also very, very capable of handling very, very delicate
things.
Hold on
a second.
Who the hell fell asleep? Flexible.
It's someone, who's got someone snoring in their room?
That's my dog.
Oh, I know it's a shit pick, but Jesus.
The dog, the dog, even the dog fell asleep.
Like, I like the pick. What's the problem?
Cool. She heard the Microsoft Surface thing and went right to sleep.
It is cool.
Too.
Very cool. It's not a production model yet, though, obviously. I don't think you've really grasped the cool thing, have you, Atlee, since you've been here?
Why?
Well, the cool thing's supposed to be something that you recommend people buy.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were looking for... I thought it was things that we thought were interesting and
no, that's the story bit. You haven't got that either.
I bet if you're a millionaire or a billionaire and you want to buy one of those robot hands, you can.
I've just got another thing. Oh, no, no, no.
All right, we'll look for a distinct improvement next week.
hey, censor this.
Oh, I've got to bleep that now. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
So I got something, another home improvement thing, basically. If you got a garage door opener, like one of those automatic garage doors with like remotes, that is older than, I want to say, 1993, there's a good chance that you can buy one of these devices that I just put in the chat. It's the company's Chamberlain, which is one of the big garage door manufacturers, but it actually technically works with, I think, most. They say most openers made after 1993. It's a little device you basically connect it to. It basically acts as a remote that you can connect to your smartphone, to your Wi-Fi network, and then wherever you are, you can know whether your garage door is open or closed, and you can remotely open or close it. There's a second device if you want to like integrate it into HomeKit, which is more my thing. You need a second device that connects to it. That's another like $100, I think. But this thing is awesome. Installation was super easy. They have like really, really good instructions. The app is okay. It works. But it is, as I said, it was super easy to install. Like you can even do it on a rental house like mine, without like it's non-destructive. You don't have to replace the motor or anything. You literally just, connect it basically to your existing remote and, screw it to the ceiling, and that's it. So highly recommended. It's the Chamberlain Hub MyQ smartphone control. Any MyQ compatible smart garage door opener, or honestly anyone that probably has a remote will work with this. I think the only limitation is it has to have this safety sensor feature at the garage door that detects if someone is walking through it or something.
Right.
So, okay. £185 in the UK, about I think $190 in the US.
Okay, so we're getting humped.
But it is awesome. It works really, really well. Easy to install, and it really works.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. Muller, have you got a cool thing for us?
Yeah, I'll stop the link in. Halo is coming to the PC, finally. It's coming to the App Store and onto Steam. They're going to do Halo Reach first, and then they're going to work through the Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4, and all the Master Chief series. So they're going to be properly set up for Windows 10, and it'll be 4K. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'll be definitely buying this.
It's going to have co-op?
It doesn't really say, but I imagine it is, because, I mean, Halo was a game that you played like that, so... You could play for the single player, but then...
it was fun with more people.
Yeah. So I suggest it. That's probably coming as well. Because you got
combat. They mentioned continuous play. So, sorry. I'm just interested that like, you know, if your progress continues between Xbox and the PC, or is it separate?
It's going to be linked to that, I think, because it's part of the same story, but I didn't bring that story. Yeah, so...
okay. Cool.
But I think the problem you got on the Xbox, there's no keyboard and mouse support yet, is there? That's coming, apparently. So I don't know how that would affect it, but this is definitely something I'm interested in. I went and bought the old Halo games, but I had to, because of the old system, the old game system used to have. I had to go online and find some hacks to get them working.
The original Xbox?
These are the PC games, but they use that game system, the old Games Live system. So you couldn't just, you know, start them.
You could only do local co-op. Yeah, everybody had to be in the same house before. And then I think that go live, a lot of people try to do it over the internet.
Yeah, but you also had to, I tried using the DVDs, and I had to find a way to get rid of that. But the co-op doesn't work on that at all, that way, because obviously the game life doesn't exist anymore. But I presume this will have all of that and be excellent.
Excellent. Good stuff, you presume.
I hope so.
Because the idea is that you pick something that everyone else can buy.
Well, you can buy it.
It's not available.
Well, it's not available yet. At least you can buy it. I'm not going to buy
Shut up.
A robot probe.
This is the literal. Where can we get a hold of you, Howie?
I'm on Twitter at Howie HAWIEA, and on the Slack room now.
And
the Sci-Fi channel.
I need to check your Twitter number.
My Twitter number.
Yeah, your
Twitter. I'm not that active on Twitter. It's only in the past month or so that I've been a bit more active. So
No, he wants to know when you joined.
If you've got a how with no list of numbers after it, then you obviously joined pretty quickly.
I joined a long time ago, but I just never really used it.
Oh, right, 1.3 billion. Oh, mate, I had you. If you've got no numbers, I do. I've got to say, in the first billion, you can get something without it, but outside the first billion, you end up getting silly numbers after it and stuff like that. So, well done, mate. Good catch. Where are you, Mr. Ashley?
You can catch me on Twitter if you want, at Big Chris Ashley. But come check me out on our podcast, the SMR podcast. Me and my homies doing it. Every week, talking tech and social and all kinds of good stuff as well.
Excellent. Good having you back, brother.
And smoking weed. Meat.
Meat. Yeah. Weed. Don't say weed, jeez.
I have smoking a YouTube page. I put up some of my smokes. If anybody's interested, let me know.
Good to have you back, pal.
Thank you.
Where are you, Atlee?
You can reach me at Atlee Hunter, and you can reach me on the Slack channel.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Patrice, where would you be?
Every week here on The Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Good to see you on Big Show as well, mate. Come more often.
I'm trying.
Yeah. And Muller, Patrice says you look like a coloured gnome, an orange squirrel coloured gnome.
Yeah.
It's because I've got so many windows in this room, the white balance is completely different from night to day, and I haven't got it on auto because it's crap on auto. It's even worse. Orange, he's just going to have to look a bit Bruce Forsyth and I'll put it up with it. Zale Winton.
I'm just thinking for the bash, you buy one of those smokers so we can get Chris to smoke it from America.
Chris has got a cool... Oh, we could smoke it from America, exactly. Yeah.
Or we could load it up and then he could...
Yeah, if you burn it, it can be your fault.
As smoked by Chris Ashley.
Yeah. Live from America.
That's
actually a cool idea.
I know, it's good. I've got these ideas occasionally.
What we'll do is we'll have that remote trigger spray system as well. What we'll do is put one of those electric dog collars on someone, and every time you fritz that and they go, they start jumping, then we'll they'll have what we'll do is we'll take one of those garden spray tins to their hand, right, and they'll get like a seizure, and that'll pull on the spray tin. Yeah, I'm all,
chain them to the smoker, and basically every time he gets a
there we go.
That could be greedy because he won't watch this.
I'm sure you can buy children for that.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Muller, where can everyone get hold of you?
In the Slack room, Muller Biker on Twitter, Muller999 on Instagram.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. Please don't forget to support the sponsors. It is much appreciated because we need them around. Otherwise, we're really stuffed. We're back again next week as normal on Friday. We got the Mac Show at 4 p.m. and the Big Show at 8 p.m. If you want to come and watch live, and you should, because it's a lot of fun before we even start the fun.
Yeah.
Honest. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.